Once again, Short Sermons is a new series, and it's distinguished from our Hebrews 2020 series, a different series. Short sermons are not intended to make a complete case, but merely to make a point. Each one is presented with the hope that grace will be served to the hearers, and that God would open the hearts to be attentive to the truth of the Scripture as the testimony of Jesus Christ, who yesterday, today, and forever is full of grace and truth. Today's short sermon, two meanings of world. Cosmos, usually translated into English as world, is used in two distinct senses in John's Gospel and in his first epistle. The first sense is the world of humanity, the object of God's eternal love. God loved the world so much that he gave his only eternally begotten Son, and in him reconciled the world to himself, as 2 Corinthians 5:19 says. God sent his Son into the world with the intention of saving the world through him, John 3:16 and 17. Jesus is called both in John's Gospel and the first epistle of John, the Savior of the world. John 4:42 and 1 John 4:14, thus indicating the success of his mission. For according to Titus 2:11, the grace of God that appeared in Jesus Christ means the salvation of all mankind. So the salvation of the world in this first sense. The second, but also significant sense of that word cosmos as translated world, is the present evil age. It means the present evil age in a spatial and material sense. This world is not only not the object of God's love, it is also not to be the object of the Christian's love. If you think your duty as a Christian is to change or correct this world, then perhaps you still have some residual love for it, and like the wife of Lot, are looking back with longing at Sodom. She forgot that, quote, here we have no continuing city. But the Scripture explicitly commands, don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If someone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the desire sponsored by the flesh, and the desire of the eyes, and the pride in one's possessions, is not of the Father, but from the world in opposition to the Father. This world and its desire is passing away, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. 1 John 2:15 to 17. This is the world out of which Jesus called his disciples, and out of which he has called us, Christians in our time. In fact, the world in this sense is a synonym for that which the apostle called this present evil age in Galatians 1:4. This age is that from which God intends to deliver us. And in fact, Jesus Christ died for our sins in order to rescue us from this present evil age. This is according to the will of God our Father in Galatians 1:5. He wills to deliver us from evil, and does so when he delivers us from this evil age. The one who does the will of God and who abides forever is precisely Jesus himself, the Messiah. For Jesus said, I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And the crowd was right to interpret the law as saying the Messiah remains forever. John 6:38, 12:34 also. Jesus, who is the one who does the will of God and who accomplished his work. John 4:34, 17:4, 19:28, 19:30. He abides or remains forever. And that again is John 12:34. The Christian who does the will of God and the work of God for that matter is the one who believes the one who merely abides in Jesus. Jesus again said, this is the work of God, the work that God requires of you, that you believe in him whom he has sent. The world in all its fashion may be passingly in vogue, cool, fashionable, but not with God. What is always fashionable and in vogue with God is faith, faith in his Son as source and object, believing, which results in joy and peace of the everlasting and never passing kingdom of God. Romans 15:13 and 14:17. God is the Savior of everyone, says the scripture, of course, but especially of those who are believing. 1 Timothy 4:9-10, for they have the knowledge of the glory of God. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, the knowledge of the truth, the understanding that comes through faith, the understanding that the Son of God himself gives. In 1 John 5:20, the understanding that's concealed from the reconciled but unbelieving world. In Acts 16:14, a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God, was listening. It says the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was spoken by Paul. In Luke 24:45, then Jesus, it says, the Lord opened their minds to understand the scriptures. In 1 John 5:20, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know the true one and that we are in the true one, that is, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. And in Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand. We are asking that you may be filled with all the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, was Paul's apostolic prayer for the Colossians. If you belonged to the world would love you as its own. That's again that second use of cosmos. But because you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world hates you. In John 15:19, Jesus said to his disciples, this is the world that we are not to love, not to try to change, not to be conformed to. This world is on the way out. It's passing away just as the darkness, that is its characteristic, is also passing away. This world is on the way out. To love this world is to love the darkness rather than the light. In John 3:19. Those who are zealous to change or even criticize the world or spend their Christian service renovating it reveal that they have love for it. Those who renovate their homes obviously love their homes. They are at home in their homes, and well, they should be. But the world that is the present evil age, called this present darkness in Ephesians 6:12, is not our home. And we need not renovate it. We need not waste our time renovating it. Instead, we need to redeem the time because the days are evil, in Ephesians 5:16. Those who try to conform the world to the image of God are being conformed to the evil age and not bearing the image of God. Not being conformed to the evil, they are being conformed to Christ, rather, who is the image of God. The scripture says, stop being conformed to this age. Instead, be transformed by the renovation of your thinking. Now, the so-called lust of the flesh, that is one-third of the content of this cosmos, is the desire to be preeminent over others, to be lord over others because of our imagined attainment of righteousness and our imagined piety. The lust of the eyes is not just the desire to view pornography, though that is destructive to both body and soul, but it's the desire to be seen as preeminent, as having prestige or glory with men. Jesus, who is the very radiance of the glory of the Father, said, I don't accept glory from men, and I don't seek my own glory. And again in John 8:54, he said, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. My Father, the one of whom you say he is our God, is the one who glorifies me. Ultimately, the Father glorifies the Lord Jesus by raising him from the dead by his glory. And so the lust of the eyes is more than the lust to see something lustful. It is like the desire of the hypocrites, rather, who announce their giving to the poor with a trumpet flourish to be applauded by people, who love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. That is their lust of the eyes. Like those who want everyone to know they're fasting or going through something by presenting a sad face, Matthew 6:16. That's the lust of the eyes. Not so much the world and what the world lusts to see, but what the religious hypocrite desires to be seen as in his piety. In every case, Jesus says of those hypocrites, they already have their reward. Their reward is the pitiful praise of people who are suckered into thinking they're righteous, the pitiable reward of, or the feeling of being seen, of spiritual exhibitionism, a reward that passes with this passing age. This is not the great reward that comes of having the bold confidence that Hebrews 10:35 speaks of, that which is promised to those who accomplish the will of God by continuing in loyal endurance of faith. The third of the contents of the cosmos is the pride that pertains only to biological life. It is more than just the pride one has in their looks or their body or their possessions in this world. It includes the empty self-glory called kenodoxia in Galatians 5:26 that goes with the conceit of pseudo-piety and the religiosity that's merely disguised unbelief and the deceitfulness of a works or sacraments-based righteousness, or even the claim that one is not religious but spiritual, so-called. We have to decide once and for all, and then keep on deciding, whether or not to acknowledge that we have been crucified to the world and the world to us, in Galatians 6:14. We have to decide and keep on deciding to glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and not in our paltry, pious performances. And so ends short sermon number 2.